Imagine picking up what might be the world's most famous book and suddenly realizing you've completely misunderstood it your entire life. This is precisely what happened to Rob Bell after 25 years of studying the Bible. What if this collection of ancient texts isn't primarily a rule book of religious requirements or a manual of spiritual beliefs, but something far more fascinating? What if it's actually a profoundly human library documenting our ancestors' evolving understanding of the divine, their questions, insights, arguments, and breakthroughs about what it means to be human in this mysterious universe? This revolutionary perspective has sparked a movement of people rediscovering these ancient writings not as static religious dogma, but as living documents that still speak to our deepest questions about meaning, justice, and how to live well in a complex world. The Bible emerged through about 40 authors across 15 centuries on three continents, each shaped by their unique historical circumstances, cultural perspectives, and personal experiences. These writers referenced lost sources, built upon existing traditions, and engaged with contemporary issues. Many biblical stories began as oral traditions passed down for generations before being written. Genesis narratives likely circulated around campfires and family gatherings for centuries before being compiled with deliberate editorial choices. When approaching the Bible, perspective matters. You can examine individual words up close or take a 10,000-foot view of entire narratives. The Book of Acts, viewed from above, shows a deliberate arc from Jerusalem to Rome, demonstrating how the Kingdom of God message transcends ethnic, geographic, and religious boundaries. Ruth's seemingly simple love story, when viewed from altitude, reveals itself as a profound tale of reconciliation between Abraham and Lot's tribes, with Ruth, a Moabite descended from Lot, marrying Boaz, an Israelite descended from Abraham, representing the reunification of divided families across generations. The Bible documents humanity's evolving understanding of God, presenting concepts that broke radically from ancient beliefs, establishing new paradigms for the divine-human relationship. The Noah story demonstrates this evolution. While flood narratives existed across ancient cultures, from Mesopotamia's Epic of Gilgamesh to Greek and Native American traditions, these typically portrayed angry gods capriciously destroying humanity. The biblical account concludes with something unprecedented, a divine promise never to repeat such destruction, symbolized by the rainbow covenant, the first documented instance of a deity making a universal covenant with all humanity. Similarly revolutionary is the covenant ceremony between God and Abraham. In ancient Near Eastern cultures, covenant ceremonies involved slaughtering animals, with both parties walking between the pieces, essentially saying, "May I become like these animals if I fail to uphold my end." The biblical account departs from tradition. Only God passes between the animal halves while Abraham sleeps, showing God taking responsibility for both sides of the agreement, promising faithfulness regardless of human failure, and establishing a grace-based relationship. Jesus consistently challenged tribal boundaries and power structures through teachings and actions that demonstrated divine love transcends cultural, ethnic, and religious barriers. His revolutionary interaction with the Sidonians, descendants of Canaan considered cursed in biblical history, exemplifies this approach. While most Jews avoided their territory, Jesus deliberately went to Sidon, praised their faith, healed their sick, and declared they would fare better on Judgment Day than his own religious tribe. He dismissed ancestral curses, showing God values openness to the Spirit's work above tribal histories. The Good Samaritan story represents Jesus' most pointed challenge to tribal hatred. It's not simply about helping others, it's about loving those we hate most deeply. By making a Samaritan the hero when speaking to Jews, Jesus deliberately provokes his listeners, as Samaritans were considered religious heretics. The lawyer can't even say Samaritan, responding only with, "the one who had mercy." Jesus reveals our neighbor is precisely the person whose name we can't bear to speak. The Bible was primarily written by oppressed Jewish people living under military superpowers. They consistently challenge power abusers with a fundamental question: will you use your power and wealth to build empires or help the vulnerable? Solomon illustrates this tension perfectly. Given wisdom and wealth to uphold justice, he instead employed slave labor, built military bases, and became an arms dealer, essentially becoming what his ancestors had fled from Egypt. Biblical writers repeatedly critique empire propaganda and the insatiable appetite for wealth and power. Jesus' ministry received financial support from women, including Joanna, wife of Herod Antipas' household manager. This detail reveals how an elite woman chose to live alongside former demoniacs and fishermen. Meanwhile, Herod wanted Jesus dead for promoting a compassion-based kingdom. The irony: Herod's wealth, through Joanna, was inadvertently funding the movement he sought to destroy. Paul's letters follow a consistent pattern: identity before instructions. In Ephesians, three chapters establish believers' identity in Christ before introducing any commands. This sequence is crucial. The gospel begins with identity, not behavior. Starting with rules implies God's love depends on performance. Instead, Paul emphasizes that you're God's child not because of your goodness, but simply because God has all kinds of kids and you're one of them. The Bible isn't meant to be read literally, but literately, according to the kind of literature it contains. Like a gem with 70 faces, in rabbinic tradition, Scripture reveals new perspectives when examined from different angles. We must read poems as poems, letters as letters, and stories as stories, recognizing metaphor, hyperbole, and other literary devices that convey deeper truths. Context transforms our experience of narrative. An airport embrace gains significance when we learn the story behind it, whether siblings reuniting before visiting a dying father, or friends whose correspondence blossomed into love. Similarly, biblical narratives gain depth through their historical, cultural, and literary contexts. Reading literally means recognizing genre conventions. Apocalyptic visions in Daniel and Revelation use symbolic imagery typical of ancient apocalyptic literature, while Genesis creation accounts employ Near Eastern conventions while subverting their polytheistic worldview. This approach honors both the Bible's divine inspiration and human composition, allowing more authentic engagement with its message. The Bible isn't a static artifact, it's a dynamic collection of texts that speak to our modern condition. The Tower of Babel story, with its revolutionary brick-making technology, warns us about our own technological excesses threatening our environment today. The Bible shows remarkable symmetry, beginning in Genesis with people at peace in a garden with rivers and a tree, and concluding in Revelation with people at peace in a city with rivers and a tree for the healing of the nations. This structure reveals we live between the trees. The Bible documents God's work of healing and renewing this world, not escaping it. These ancient texts invite us to enter their story and find our place in its continuing narrative. They address our deepest questions: who are we? Why are we here? How should we live? What matters most? In a world of endless distractions, we need to rediscover these ancient words that have shaped civilizations and transformed countless lives.